This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
What's going to change when it comes to your relationship with your parents? What's going to change when it comes to your relationship with your children? What's going to change in your relationship with your sister? What's going to change when it comes to your relationship with your community? What's going to change in your relationship with that master? How's your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the top of all this going to change? How's your relationship with your friends and your neighbors will change? Is it going to be improved? Is it there is something wrong going on, I have to stop? As you can see, there are so many things here need to be talked about. And definitely we cannot go in details over each and every point of it. But in the top of all points, I would ask, is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to be changed? Are we going to be always in contact with Him? And there is, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to talk to us, He sent to us the books, the Quran. So when you read the Quran, Allah is talking to you. But when you want to talk to Allah, you raise your hand. And your heart and your tongue start supplicating and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's basically, it's the other side of the coin. If you can imagine, one side is the Quran, Allah talking to you. The other side will be your dua. Our attitude with the dua has to come to change. Whenever you pray and you raise your hand and you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet ﷺ have told us that those who don't know Allah during the time of ease, Allah will not be there for them in the time of hardship and calamity. Instead of the dua became just a words, that empty words, that you say it after salat or after each salat, and this dhikr that you don't even contemplate on the meanings of it, that you don't even think about the meaning behind these words that you say. It should change to be something very meaningful, that you know that every word comes from your mouth, you really mean it. And this one, the dua, will be accepted. A lot of people make a lot of dua in Ramadan. But I'll tell you the key for this dua to be accepted. And it basically, a dua, in my opinion, one of the clear points that identify your relationship with Allah. How much you make dua, how much you raise your hand, and you pray and you turn to your Lord. I knew this old woman, okay, that she was telling me about herself. I was once giving lecture about the dua, and she came to me and she said, with her eyes full of tears, she was telling me, Sheikh, you know, me and the dua are, subhanAllah, yeah, it's just a different story. She said, I always, anything happen, I turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she said, like, sometimes it's just amazing. The first thing it comes to my mind to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the simplest example, she said, for example, we are in the airport. Our bag did not come out, you know, to the basically, to be collected in the right place. We said, okay, you know what? This is all the bags. If you don't have your bag, go to the office. And my husband said, hey, let's go file the report about our missing bag. So even before that, the first thing I will say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, protect my bag. And I will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help me to provide. She said, Wallahi, Sheikh Waleed, Wallahi al-Azim. I will say, I will hear that noise. Basically, the belt will start moving again, and I will see my bag coming up. She said, to the simplest things of my life. That's why when you read Hadith Jabir radiallahu anh said that al-istikhara was something that they do it all the time. It means a dua, the dua that they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in the simplest things, the Sahaba used to make dua for it and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help them and to aid them for it. It truly identifies how much you rely on Allah. Sometimes even when you do a program, when you prepare something, do you really, really, in the middle of the night, stand up and ask Allah to give barakah and to bless your effort in these things that you do? We all care about, you know, taking all the necessary means and planning and marketing and the finance department. Oh, that's fine, excellent. But the question is, how much really you put emphasis on the dua? If you want to identify your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, know how much do you know of His names. Think of how much you know of His names and attributes. And we've been asked and ordered by Allah, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. Why do you think one-third of the Qur'an is about Allah and His names and His attributes? And it's all to basically focus on the greatness of His name attributes. Why do you think for this for? Just not to memorize it? Not to know it? Not to ask Him through these names or by these names? No. I don't think it's about time to change this attitude toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to know Him more. And you cannot know someone more than at least to know His names. To know about His quality, His attributes. Really, how much do you know of His names? Try after this call to take a piece of paper and write every name that you know. And see how many of them are right names versus wrong names. Then see how many of these names that you really know what it means. 10? 15? 30 names you can write down? He has more than 100 names in the Quran. Brothers and sisters, then after you put this list, ask yourself how many of these names I really use in my dua constantly. And so forth. So, I think one of the things that identify your relationship with Allah, your relationship with the Quran. Since last Ramadan, how many extra verses do you memorize? How many extra surahs do you have added to your memorization? I understand that you don't speak Arabic, it's very hard, but I cannot understand that. That, you know, it's a whole entire year and you did not make a progress with a single verse? With a single small surah? I don't think there is something wrong here. It's not the language anymore as an excuse. How much time and effort you have put into this? You know, one of the early Muslim scholars said, I spent 18,000 pieces of gold, dinar, in learning ilm al-nahw. How much time and effort and money and basically you have dedicated really to Al-Quran? It is we talk about this, but it's in the end of our priority list. And that's one thing to identify your relationship with Allah. If you want to also see, to identify a relationship with Allah, see when you stand before Him, how much love, how much respect, how much honoring, how much concentration that you have in your salah. And that will see how close you are from Allah, or how far you are from Allah. And believe me, you're just thinking about it, just terrifying me. Because if you're far away from Allah today, I'm afraid we might be also far away from Him tomorrow. And I can go on and on. In your relationship with the Prophet, your relationship with the religion, how much you know of it, how much you seriously learn, you know, how much effort you put on it. And I can talk about your relationship with your spouse, your parents, your children. There's so many things. And I want you to think about this and to say, you know what, this must be a month that it will mark a major change. I know you cannot take in all these fronts. But what are the things that you're going to decide on this month to take on? definitely your relationship with Allah, but also your relationship with human beings. See, where the area that you lack the most? Is it your relationship with your parents? Is it your relationship with your spouse? Is it your relationship with your children? That day, one guy was telling me about his kids. He said, Sheikh, my kids, they don't listen to me. I said, don't care much. You should not care much about your kids not listening to you. But I'll tell you one thing. Your kids are very much watching you. Even if they don't listen, but they are watching you. So you be careful when you behave. Are we going to stop the violence in our house that our kids are listening to and watching it? Are we going to change the language that we use with each other at home? Are we going to replace the fear with love? That your children, your spouse, should not fear you as much as they should love you and looking forward to do what you want. I'm going to be in a business of winning people's hearts or the business of controlling others, even if they are your children or your spouse. I'm going to change my attitude with my community. Instead of just being a customer, expecting to be served, to change my attitude to be a partner, to build. As a partner, when I welcome new members to my community, my organization, as a partner who is willing to work and cooperate with organizations. When I go to sleep, when I think of myself and my family, do I think of us as a part of the community in life? And the success of my brothers is the success of me. Before I start even any program, and I say, is this going to contribute to the strengthening our community or not? We should be in a business of building one another, completing one another, and not beating one another. You know, brothers and sisters, this is the month of change. And I think a lot of us sometimes think, when we think about the end of our life, what legacy are we going to leave behind us? Have you ever thought about leaving a legacy behind you? Do you think you are a person worth of that? And that's one of the things that I think it needs to be changed, also how you look at yourself. You know the difference between fame and greatness. Fame is always about what you gain in life. But greatness is about what you give in life. Do you want to be a famous or do you want to be a great person? Because greatness is always based on what you give, not what you gain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas." You're the greatest nation ever was brought out to people. And this greatness because what they give, not what they gain. Your greatness will come from how much you contribute, how much you give to your society, to your community. Not only to the Muslim community, but to the community at large if you live in a land of minority. And you live as a minority in a land of non-Muslim country. I will conclude my talk today with just very practical points. How can you maintain this change? You might be excited. You might be, you know, full of enthusiasm. Now, I want to make this change. I want to make this Ramadan. We all do, alhamdulillah, especially in the beginning of Ramadan. But how can you really achieve that change that you want? I would say, one, identify your goal and make them very clear. Identify the areas, the goals that you want to achieve. You know, if you don't know where you want to go, and you just travel like that, most likely you're not going to end up the place that you want. You're going to end up somewhere else. If you don't identify where is the point B that I want to go to, from A to B, you will never reach B if you don't identify it clearly. So the first thing, you need to identify your goal and to identify it as a very clear goal. Number two, that basically you should be excited about the new goals that you set for yourself. You should be excited about these goals that you are setting for yourself. You should not start doing things which is, you know, it's going to be boring. It's not going to make, you know, you cannot be excited about it for a long time. Something you can live with. It's something you would love to do. Three, make sure that you have the right reason for doing it. Make sure that you contemplate on this. What the reason for you really to do that? Is it really because of you or because of pressure around you? Is it because you're 100% convinced or not convinced? Or just because this is the culture, this is the religion, I'm doing it? So you need to think about, you'd come up with 5 to 6 reasons that are very convincing for you to come to this, to basically lead you to do this. Lead to this change, lead this to you. So first, identify your goal, make them very clear. Two, be excited about these goals, choose something you're excited about it. Three, have the right reasons for it. Have the right reasons for it. And number four, that don't ever let the challenges of life to bury you alive. Don't let the problems that you see prevent you from reaching the goals that you want. I want you to know that, you know, the challenges that you have, let's say you are a youth and you're facing a lot of challenges, a lot of fitness. Make sure that all these challenges are the reason for you to be successful. Use these obstacles to make you a successful person. You know, I'm talking to you from Texas. So in the South, there's a nice story. I heard it from the people who live in the South. The people in the South, they don't have a type of fish. It's called codfish. Okay? This codfish, they bring it from the North, cold water. So they used to bring it to the Southern, but it, in the old days, it became like, you know, frozen, or they basically not fresh. People want the fresh codfish. So they used to bring them in the containers. And in these containers, they put a lot of them, thousands of them. By the time they arrive here, they become so smushy, so, you know, the taste is completely different, tasteless, so it didn't work out. So one of the people who shipped these codfish made a very interesting invention. You know what he did? He put in that container catfish. Catfish are the natural predator to the codfish. They don't go along together. But he dropped in the tanker basically several of these catfish. So the whole entire trip, what happened? The codfish were alert, were in constant move and protection and defense position. And that kept them fresh, strong, the whole entire trip. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes drop catfish in your way, in your life, to keep you strong, to keep you alive, to keep you always alert, and to grow you, not to destroy you, not ever to put you down, not ever to basically prevent you from prevailing at all. These challenges in life are meant to make you strong. The more you will be able to basically resist this pressure in life, the more you will become a valuable person. If you ever look at the difference between charcoal, a piece of charcoal, basically a coal, and a piece of a rock, which is called the black diamond, the most valuable, the most expensive rock in the face of the earth. They are identically coming from the same basically root. The only difference between the charcoal and the diamond is basically the structure of the diamond is meant to basically to resist pressure, versus the charcoal, the structure of it is not meant to resist pressure, so you can crush it with your hand. And that's what makes that rock valuable. Its ability to resist the pressure. Is it your ability to resist the pressure what's going to make you a valuable person? I want you to come to these challenges in life. I want you to start Ramadan, to start aiming towards these goals while you are full of trust that you are the person who can achieve his goal. You are the person who will make this change happen. In the level of your life, with your family, in your community. And if you live with this spirit, while your head's up, while you're always trying to survive, you always try to thrive. You always try to be the best. You know and you're capable of it. If this is how you live your life, I guarantee you will get your goals. Because there is nobody can defeat you from inside except yourself. Unless you give up. So my brothers and sisters, in the end of my talk today, I wish you all the best from the bottom of my heart. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help me and to help all of you to make this Ramadan the real month of change, where real things will change in our life and would go to the better direction. Yes, we pray a lot. We say, oh, Allah, change this, change that. You know, especially in somebody going through a hardship. And I found very interesting point here to be contemplate on, which is so many times we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change our circumstances. But you never ask ourselves, why Allah has made these circumstances? Why Allah put us, first of all, in these circumstances? And you know the answer is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْلٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِ. Allah will not change your circumstances until you change yourself. We pray so many times, oh Allah, change the circumstances that I'm in. But we're not praying for changing ourselves, which is the point. That's why Allah put you first of all in that circumstance, for you to change. And the moment you change, things will be changing around you. So make sure that we mark this 2011 as a month that it will be remembered years to come by you and by your family and hopefully, inshallah, by your community as well. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And I would like to extend my thank and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, and then to the brothers and sisters who basically facilitate this program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them tremendously and accept from all of us. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum. I'm going to be in a business of winning people's hearts or the business of controlling others, even if they are your children or your spouse. I'm going to change my attitude with my community. Instead of just being a customer, expecting to be served, to change my attitude to be a partner, to build. As a partner, when I welcome new member to my community, my organization, as in a partner who willing to work and cooperate with organization. When I go to sleep, when I think of myself and my family, do I think of us as a part of the community in life? And the success of my brothers is the success of me. Before I start even any program, and I say, is this going to contribute to the strengthening our community or not? We should be in a business of building one another, completing one another, and not beating one another. You know, brothers and sisters, this is the month of change. And I think a lot of us sometimes think, when we think about the end of our life, what legacy are we going to leave behind us? Have you ever thought about leaving a legacy behind you? Do you think you are a person worth of that? And that's one of the things that I think it needs to be changed, also how you look at yourself. You know the difference between fame and greatness. Fame is always about what you gain in life. But greatness is about what you give in life. Do you want to be a famous or do you want to be a great person? Because greatness is always based on what you give, not what you gain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You're the greatest nation ever was brought out to people. And this greatness because what they give, not what they gain. Your greatness will come from how much you contribute, how much you give to your society, to your community. Not only to the Muslim community, but to the community at large if you live in a land of minority. And you live as a minority in a land of non-Muslim country. I will conclude my talk today with just very practical points. How can you maintain this change? You might be excited. You might be, you know, full of enthusiasm now. I want to make this change. I want to make this Ramadan. We all do, alhamdulillah, especially in the beginning of Ramadan. But how can you really achieve that change that you want? I would say, one, identify your goal and make them very clear. Identify the areas, the goals that you want to achieve. You know, if you don't know where you want to go, and you just travel like that, most likely you're not going to end up the place that you want. You're going to end up somewhere else. If you don't identify where is the point B that I want to go to, from A to B, you will never reach B if you don't identify it clearly. So the first thing, you need to identify your goal and to identify it as a very clear goal. Number two, that basically you should be excited about the new goals that you set for yourself. You should be excited about these goals that you are setting for yourself. You should not start doing things which is, you know, it's going to be boring. It's not going to make, you know, you cannot be excited about it for a long time. Something you can live with, it's something you would love to do. Three, make sure that you have the right reason for doing it. Make sure that you contemplate on this. What the reason for you really to do that? Is it really because of you or because of pressure around you? Is it because you're 100% convinced or not convinced? Or just because this is the culture, this is the religion, I'm doing it? So you need to think about, you've come up with 5 to 6 reasons that are very convincing for you to come to this, to basically lead you to do this, lead to this change, lead this to change. So first, identify your goal, make them very clear. Two, be excited about these goals, choose something excited about it. Three, have the right reasons for it. Have the right reasons for it. And number four, that don't ever let the challenges of life to bury you alive. Don't let the problems that you see prevent you from reaching the goals that you want. I want you to know that, you know, the challenges that you have, let's say you are a youth and you're facing a lot of challenges, a lot of fitness. Make sure that all these challenges are the reason for you to be successful. Use these obstacles to make you a successful person. You know, I'm talking to you from Texas. So in the South, there's a nice story. I heard it from the people who live in the South. The people in the South, they don't have a type of fish. It's called codfish. Okay, this codfish, they bring it from the north, cold water. So they used to bring it to the southern, but it, in the old days, it became like, you know, frozen, or they basically not fresh. People want the fresh codfish. So they used to bring them in the containers. And in these containers, they put a lot of them, thousands of them. By the time they arrive here, they become so smushy, so, you know, the taste is completely different, tasteless, so it didn't work out. So one of the people who shipped these codfish made a very interesting invention. You know what he did? He put in that container catfish. Catfish are the natural predator to the codfish. They don't go along together. But he dropped in the tanker basically, several of these catfish. So the whole entire trip, what happened? The codfish were alert, were in constant move and protection and defense position. And that kept them fresh, strong, the whole entire trip. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes drop catfish in your way, in your life, to keep you strong, to keep you alive, to keep you always alert, and to grow you, not to destroy you, not ever to put you down, not ever to basically prevent you from prevailing at all. These challenges in life are meant to make you strong. The more you will be able to basically resist this pressure in life, the more you will become a valuable person. If you ever look at the difference between charcoal, a piece of charcoal, basically a coal, and a piece of a rock which is called the black diamond, the most valuable, the most expensive rock in the face of the earth. They are identically coming from the same, basically, root. The only difference between the charcoal and the diamond is basically the structure of the diamond is meant to basically to resist pressure versus the charcoal, that the structure of it is not meant to resist pressure. So you can crush it with your hand. And that's what makes that rock valuable. Its ability to resist the pressure. Is it your ability to resist the pressure what's going to make you a valuable person? I want you to come to these challenges in life. I want you to start Ramadan, to start aiming towards these goals while you are full of trust that you are the person who can achieve his goal. You are the person who will make this change happen in the level of your life, with your family, in your community. And if you live with this spirit, while your head's up, while you're always trying to survive, you always try to thrive. You always try to be the best. You know and you're capable of it. If this is how you live your life, I guarantee you will get your goals. Because there is nobody can defeat you from inside except yourself. Unless you give up. So my brothers and sisters, in the end of my talk today, I wish you all the best from the bottom of my heart. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help me and to help all of you to make this Ramadan the real month of change, where real things will change in our life and would go to the better direction. Yes, we pray a lot. We say, oh, Allah, change this, change that. You know, especially in somebody going through a hardship. And I found very interesting point here to be contemplate on, which is so many times we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change our circumstances. But you never ask ourselves, why Allah has made these circumstances? Why Allah put us, first of all, in these circumstances? And you know the answer is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْلٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِ. Allah will not change your circumstances until you change yourself. We pray so many times, oh Allah, change the circumstances, amen. But we're not praying for changing ourselves, which is the point. That's why Allah put you first of all in that circumstance, for you to change. And the moment you change, things will be changing around you. So make sure that we mark this 2011 as a month, that it will be remembered years to come by you and by your family and hopefully, inshallah, by your community as well. Wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And I would like to extend my thank and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, and then to the brothers and sisters who basically facilitate this program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them tremendously and accept from all of us. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.